John chapter 8, and we are going to be looking at verse 21 through verse 26. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they ask. "Just what I have been claiming all along," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable. What I have heard from him, I tell you." I'm sure the Lord will add his blessings to the reading, the hearing of his holy word. My subject is, unbelief will cause you to die in your sins. Unbelief will cause you to die in your sins. In Proverbs 14 and 9, we read that fools make a mock at sin. Some reject the gospel with slight, others with haughtiness and pride, some with basic indifference. But however one rejects the gospel, one must be warned of the seriousness of doing so. If you die in your sins, the door to repentance is closed. It may never again be open. And so one must realize that if one rejects the gospel, one runs the risk of being eternally damned. That is serious. This is the thought of our message this morning. This is what our Lord is dealing with. The scoffers continues to scoff as he attempted to teach them about himself and the kingdom of heaven. They make light of what he has to say. Some ridicule him. Jesus here set out to explain to them the seriousness of rejecting the gospel. The purpose of the message today is so that you who are saved will be careful to warn men of the seriousness of rejecting Christ. And those of you who are not saved may realize the seriousness of you rejecting Christ. Hopefully, you will come to repentance and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So, we shall study the passage that is set before us today. My first point is, beware of refusing Christ while you have the opportunity. Beware of refusing Christ while you have the opportunity. So, we find in verse 21, once more, Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me." Don't fail to grasp your opportunity while Christ is present with you. Don't fail to grasp your opportunity while Christ is present with you. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me. This once more is because this basic thought had already been expressed in chapter 7, 35, 33 through 35. In that passage, the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to the fact that they were trying then to kill him. And he said to them that he was going away and that after a while they would be looking for him, but they wouldn't find him. In that context, Jesus was saying, the time comes when you will seek for me to learn of me, to help you. But then you will not be able to find me. You will then recognize me as the Messiah, and you'll want the Messiah to come and do something for you, but then it will be too late. In this context, or the repetition of the statement, now is to show that their opportunity for accepting him was running out. Their time for making the decision to seize the opportunity to trust the Messiah was about to run out. They had only a short time to go. In other words, don't try so hard, Jesus is saying, to get rid of me. I am going myself. And you don't have to worry of trying to get rid of me. I have a plan, and I am going to leave as soon as my plan is accomplished. I am going to leave you here. I'm going to remove myself from you, and then you will not have the chance of accepting me, of trusting me, of believing in me. Let the sinner consider this fact. The day of opportunity is only so long. Sooner or later, our chance for doing right runs out. And the opportunity is no longer there. And then we must contemplate our own destiny. Tell it to your children. They only have so much time to trust Christ. Tell it to your mate. Tell it to your parents. Tell it to your friends. There is only so much time to trust Jesus Christ, to believe in the Messiah. Therefore, my friend, don't die in your sins. Look at the text. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me. Your time is running out. Notice. And you will what? Die in your. In your what? Let me hear that. Then what? There's no S to it. You notice that? You notice that? There is no S to it. You will die in your S-I-N, sin, sin. Look at verse 24. It's different there. I told you that you would die in your what? Sins, S-I-N-S. What is the difference? What is the difference? There is a vast difference here. In verse 24, a person lives in a state of sinfulness. He lives in his sins by choice, inherited and by choice. A person lives in a multitude of sins. Nobody goes to hell because of S-I-N-S. Did you know that? Nobody is going to hell because of S-I-N-S, sins. People go to hell because of S-I-N, sin. What is this sin in verse 21? I'm going away and you will look for me and you will die in your sin. What is Jesus talking about? The sin here is the sin of unbelief. That's only one sin. It is continuous. A person goes to hell because of unbelief, not because he lies or steals or do bad things. Person goes to hell because of unbelief. The unrepentant sinner, the unrepentant one, is the one who is living in unbelief. And as long as a person lives in unbelief, he lives in sins. A person remains in sins as long as he remains unrepentant. And the only way that person can repent of sins is as that person comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, unbelief is the only sin that keeps a man out of heaven. Following that? Unbelief is the only sin that keeps a person out of heaven. Because there's not a one of you in here who doesn't have sins, even though you are saved. But through faith in Jesus Christ, God's propitiation, who has taken care of all your sins, you are sure of heaven. Amen. You will continue to sin as long as you live down here. Amen. Thanks be to God. There is a fountain filled with blood that is drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilts and stain. So then, Jesus is saying that if you continue to refuse, you will die in unbelief. And if you die in unbelief, you will be eternally separated from God. Where I go, you cannot come. You see it, folks? You following me? Follow me in your Bible. Where I go, you cannot come. Which means you are separated because of unbelief. You are totally separated from Christ if you die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Where is he going, by the way? Where do you suppose Jesus is going? He's going to heaven. He's going back to heaven. He's going back to paradise. He's going back to the place of bliss and glory. He's going back to the place where nobody can touch him. He's going back to the place where there is peace and joy forevermore. When Jesus went back to heaven, he took somebody with him. He took the thief on the cross. You remember that? The thief on the cross repented, believed in Jesus, and asked Jesus that when he enter his kingdom to remember him. And what did Jesus say to him? Today shall thou be with me in paradise. So when he went back to heaven, he took the thief back with him into glory, back to paradise. All of us who believe and who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we too are going to be with him in paradise. And those who have died have gone to be with him. And there are others of us who are still alive. We can't go just now because we are still in the body. But Jesus promised that where he is, there we shall be also. But what about our loved ones who are not saved? What about our friends who are not saved? What about those of you who are here right now who are not saved? Where I go, you cannot come. You cannot ever hope to be with Jesus in glory if you are not saved. If you die in your sins, you are eternally separated. If you die rejecting Christ, your hell is going to be hot. To say the least, hell is hot already, but Jesus said it's going to be hotter. According to Jesus, people who have rejected the gospel is going to suffer more in hell than people who have not heard the gospel. Do you know that? Jesus said it. Let me tell you what he said. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes to be thrown into hell fire where the worms die not. The fire is not quenched. But listen what he said also. It is better that you had not heard the truth. For he said that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah than for those of you who heard and refused. So if the worms do not die in hell and the fire is not quenched, which suggests torment for the average sinner, what is it going to be for those who have listened to the gospel and have continued to reject the gospel? That's my second point. Beware of the ignorance of your sins. Beware of the ignorance of your sin. Look at verse 22 with me. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is this why he says, where I go, you cannot come? Here's the warning for you, my friend. Don't be cynical in your ignorance. Don't be cynical in your ignorance. Now, this is a mockery they are making of Jesus. It's a mockery. Vincent, in his word study, suggests that there is a subtle bitterness in the question. The sense of the verse here expresses, surely he will not by any chance kill himself. And as that would ensure him going to Gehenna, which is hell, of course we could not go with him. If he's that crazy to kill himself, he doesn't suppose that we're going to kill ourselves too. Amen. So we're not going to be there with him anywhere because he's contemplating suicide. We have more sense than that. What they're saying, they have more sense than Jesus. There is a kind of a cynicism fraught with anger. Because here Jesus is saying to the religious leaders, that they are sinners that are on their way of dying in their sins. Who dare him? Who dare Jesus to insinuate, let alone suggest such a thing, that we, people who are religious, have a God of the Jewish faith, are sinners? Isn't that how a lot of religious people react when you tell them they need to be saved? And say, ah, well, you're a little bit too fanatic. You know, don't take your religious thing to the job, you know. Take it too far. You go to church on Sunday, leave it there. When you come out in the real world, live it up. Make fun of you if you try to emphasize that Christianity is a lifestyle to be lived for Christ.
Amen.
They tend to say, well, you're a little bit off your rocker.
Amen.
You need to see the shrink in that you're taking this thing so far. So that's how they're thinking of Jesus, that Jesus is a little bit lightheaded. If they were making mockery of him, making fun of him. It's like the meeting they were having, having a tent meeting, and as the preacher was inside preaching, there were some guys outside mimicking the preacher, making fun of his message. I think he was a little bit off because he was preaching about hell. He was preaching about hell. They had problems with that. Well, they think Jesus is a little bit off. But here, my friend, don't miss the truth about yourself and who Jesus is. Look there at verse 23. But he continued, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." In verse 14, Jesus suggested that they did not know his origin, nor did they know his destination. Now, had they known his origin and destination, had they a sense of his divinity, surely they would not have made such mockery of him. They would not have tried to minimize what he said. They would have understood exactly what he was saying. They did not understand. They did not understand. So Jesus here is trying to put things in context for them, just giving them a little bit more. Not to turn them off completely, but with the hope that they will think about what he's saying. Here he says to them, "You are from below. You are of this world." In other words, do you know why you cannot understand what I'm saying? It is because you are of this world's economy. It is because you are confined to this world's system. It is because your origin rests right here. Your whole mental process, the way you think about life, all that you can perceive has to do with the earthly. Or as you're concerned, if it's not earthly, it doesn't exist. And that's the problem. If it is not earthly, it doesn't exist. Jesus said, that's your problem. And the reason you can't comprehend or understand, it is because you are earthly and I am heavenly. Look at the text. I am from above. I am not of this world. I do not belong here. And because I do not belong here, I am not of this earth. I am heavenly. I am spiritual. You whose minds and hearts are set on the mundane are unable to comprehend the heavenly. It's this problem, the problem with man. Tries to understand spiritual things from the plane of his carnality. It does not happen. It cannot happen. But Jesus gives it to them a little more in verse 24. Don't miss what you must believe to be saved. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. That I am. In other words, Jesus now told them the requirement for their salvation. They must believe in the one who is before them. But what it is that they must believe in him as? That's the problem. What is it that we should believe in Jesus as? He's a good man. We all know that. He's a good man who went around Galilee talking about love. So, Jesus is the superstar of the hippies in the 60s. Eating out of garbage pail, speaking love. Well, in society, he is the social reformer that we need to emulate. Nice guy who tells us what to do, how to reform the system. But how are we to believe in him if we must save? We must be saved. If we are to be saved, how must we believe in Jesus? What about him that we need to believe? That I am. That's it. I am. I am is the name of God. You remember? I am is the name of God. Moses is sent to Egypt and he said to God, when I go to Egypt, who should I say sent me? And God says, tell them that I am sent you. Here Jesus say to them, you must believe that I am, or you will die in your sins. You must believe that I am God. Not just a lunatic, not just another man who's gone crazy. You must believe that I am the eternal divine Son of God who came to earth for your redemption. That's what you must believe. I believe that one of the reasons why a lot of us who believe are not saved is because we really don't know who we believe. Really don't know who we believe. We believe in a man called Jesus. A good man called Jesus. But do we believe that God came to earth in the person of his son Jesus Christ? What we speak about is the blood of God. When we talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are talking about the divine blood of God. I want you to know that it is not the blood of the mother that runs in the vein of the baby in the womb. It's the blood of the Father. Jesus being conceived by the Holy Spirit, the divine Holy Spirit of God, was himself the divine Son of God, and the blood of God himself ran in the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ died, God's blood was shed for you. So we must believe. Nothing short of that will save you, my friend. Nothing short of believing that God came to earth and died for you. In his conception, we are told, you shall call his name Emmanuel. What is the meaning of it? God with us. You must, if you will be saved, You must believe that God came in the person of Jesus Christ, took upon himself your sins and mine, there died for them. My third point. Beware of perpetual doubting. Don't persist in your unbelief. Verse 25. Who are you? They ask. Who are you? They ask. Again, the cynicism is involved in a question. Who are you? They ask. Now, the reason for this question is because they heard exactly what he said. To the Jews, I am means the self-existent God, divine self-existent God, the eternal God, Jehovah, their personal God. They knew that. So when Jesus said, you have to believe that I am, they understood it. They understood exactly what he said. And that annoyed them. They didn't want to hear such blasphemy. And so they asked the question, who are you? In other words, what is this that you are taking on to yourself? What is this personality that you are assuming to be? They're annoyed, friends. Now listen to Jesus' answer. Classic. Just what I have been claiming all along. In other words, you heard me, right? Jesus said. You heard exactly right. That's precisely what I'm saying. What you heard is what I said. But I am. They only had to fathom, comprehend the series of statements he has been making concerning himself. They will have noticed completely he's exactly who he claimed to be. Dear my friend, the problem that why men often reject the gospel, it is not because they haven't heard. That's the problem. He's offended by what he thinks he hears. And because he is offended, he will not allow himself to be penetrated by the truth. So he puts up a wall to protect his heart from the penetrating force of God's word, so that the sinner is safe to go on living his life without conviction and condemnation. The message remains the same, whether or not he wants to listen or no. Don't be fooled about Christ's ability to pass judgment. You can reject him all he wants, all you want. The message is the same. He is who he said he is. Listen to what he says in verse 26. I have much to say in judgment of you. I have much to say in judgment of you. Because of who he is, he's qualified to pass judgment. Jesus is qualified to pass judgment because he's the divine Son of God. He said, I have much to say to pass judgment. But Jesus said, that's not what I came for. Over and over he said, I didn't come into the world to pass judgment. I come here to save. purpose here is to save. But every time a person listens to the gospel and rejects the gospel, his rejection is a condemnation of himself. Do you hear me? This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness more than light, because their deeds are evil. Every rejection of the gospel is a condemnation of a soul. Nobody has to pass judgment. Jesus do not have to pass judgment. The fact that he came to give life, when the light is rejected, it is a seal that one is under judgment. There's no other way to get out from it. Finally, do not assume that the message is limited to you. But he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. What I've heard from him, I tell the world. Just a little bit more information here, I think will open some insight for you. What I hear, what I've heard, I tell the world. And the idea here of tell the world, in other words, I speak into the world. That's the concept here. That's the idea. I speak into the world. And it's as though it's an echo. Jesus speaks into the world, and his voice kept echoing throughout the ages. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came, and when he spoke, he, as it were, stands at a point in time and spoke into the world, and his voice echoes throughout centuries. Today, his words are still echoing in our hearts. The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ still speaks to our heart. Every time a person hears the gospel, Christ's voice is echoing throughout eternity. No one will be able to avoid or escape the reality of the fact that the gospel has been preached by Christ himself. We who carry the message, we are Christ's echo. We go out and echo the voice of Jesus Christ wherever men are found. It's a responsibility. It's a responsibility we are called upon to carry out. We are the echo. And the soul that hears the voice of Christ speaking, directing the message in a personal way. Let me sum it up for you. What have I said to you so far is this: beware of refusing Christ while you have the opportunity to do so. Secondly, beware of ignorance of your sins. It will make you cynical, make you think you're more than you are. Beware of perpetual doubting. It'll give you a false sense of power, pride. Remember the theme: if you die in unbelief, you are doomed forever, lost for eternity. You who are saved, go out and tell the message. Echo the voice of Christ. Wherever men are found, warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are in our midst today and you are not saved, I warn you right now. Turn ye, for why will you die? Why will you be lost forever and forever? Rejecting Jesus Christ as God's only offering for sin will doom you for eternity. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Every head bow, every eye close. Now, Father, oh God, we give you thanks for the solemn warning. Unbelief will cause us to die in our sins. Cause, dear God, that if there be one person present with us today who are yet in unbelief, such one or ones may now by faith open his or her heart, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Father, even now, we pray this. If you're here, my friend, and you are yet unsaved, realize that you have rejected Christ over and over again. And today, you're at the place where you can reject him no more. I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner, and save me because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for my sins. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. Move forward.